Today, if you've got your Bibles, you could open them at Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 13. Some of it may be quite familiar, and we've already said some of it today in the service, just a moment ago. Thanks, Jerry. We said the Lord's Prayer. The Lord's Prayer is in that section. Matthew 6, 5 to 13. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father, who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, or in another translation it says, repeating yourself. But they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for their Father knows what you, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil. When Richard said, first of all, that he was going on sabbatical, and he said, I'm going away for roughly this length of time. And I stuck my hand up and said, yeah, I'll organise the preaching route. Fairly soon after that, I really felt the sense that the Lord saying, include something on prayer. So we did Psalms to start with, and then last week we did something on prayer. Yes, great. Thank you, Sheena. I'm sorry I missed it. Yes, but we started last week with Sheila speaking on prayer. In fact, even the week before Liam spoke, he also touched on prayer. Jeremiah's prayer of complaint to God. Today, I just also want to carry on that theme of prayer. But I'm just quite conscious that prayer is quite personal. And so if I ask you a question like, what is your prayer life like? It feels like a personal question. Because just like it says in Matthew, our prayer life mostly is very private and on our own. We go into our room and close the door, metaphorically. Not necessarily always in a room with a closed door, but metaphorically we're on our own with God. It feels like a personal question. It also, often when asked a question like that, our immediate response is to feel guilty. Two people nodding. Yeah? And we have, for some reason, got quite a high expectation of what our prayer life should look like, and we're not always quite living up to that, and we feel guilty about it. You might even say, you know, feel in yourself, you know, why is he asking me about my prayer life? You know, all sorts of comparison and judgment and expectations about maybe other people, all those holy people who have got wonderful prayer lives than me. You know, I'm going to get 1 minute here, 1 minute there. If that, sometimes I feel I can't even pray. I went on a client visit to a chap who was in a really bad place. But he was a Christian, he had a faith. But he said, you know, I haven't been able to pray for months. Just, I can't do it. I can't pray. Though sometimes, you know, judgment and condemnation and guilt often flow out of a question like, how is your prayer life? What's your prayer life look like? And if you were actually even today to answer it, that question, personally, what would you say? And here's a few words I wrote down about what perhaps you might think about your own prayer life. These were all applicable to me. Rushed. Dogmatic. Formulaic. Repetitive. Patchy. Intimate, tender, life of farming. Boring. Beautiful. Loving. Fun. Those are just a few I wrote down. All of those apply. Not all the time. Not all the time. But there's the seasons of prayer, aren't there? Sometimes prayer is easy. And God is feels close. And we close the door and we just feel like we're with Him. And it's good. Sometimes it just feels like I can't know what to say. And it goes through the same words. I pray for my family, pray for my children, pray for the church, pray for the ritual and sabbatical, pray for whatever. You know. And we do imagine other people's prayer lives better than our own. So, question for you just to think about. Why do you want a better prayer life? If you feel guilty about your prayer life, why do you want a better one? What is the real reason for wanting a better one? Is it to deal with that guilt that comes up when you think about your prayer life? Or is it for deeper reasons? What are we expecting to get out of the better prayer life? What are we expecting to happen if we had a better prayer life? Yeah. It shouldn't be about a switch in guilt, should it? No. Let's just reflecting on this a little bit. There's some tips for us in Matthew, in that passage that we read. There are some tips for us on how to have a better prayer life. Before Jesus gives a specific example of the prayer that we use, the Lord's Prayer, that we all love and says so much, he says various other things. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans or repeating yourself repetitively, whatever the words are in the old version. For they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. So, first clue, perhaps we need to say less when we pray. Perhaps we need to say less. Because the Father already knows what you need. So perhaps you don't need to worry so much about covering every single thing that we think we need. And for me, I've met so many people in need. And I have a long list now of people I feel I should pray for. I'm thinking, oh, I haven't prayed for that client for a while, and I know their life's in a total mess, and oh, and then there's that one, and then there's that one, and then there's that one. This verse should give us all the world comfort. The Father knows what we need. He knows what they need as well. And so perhaps we don't necessarily always need to cover every single one individually. The Father knows. Maybe we should practice silence in prayer. Anybody do that? Not very often. I don't very often. But good when he does and he doesn't. It's a bit of shaking, a bit of nodding. It's difficult, is it not difficult? It is difficult. Silence is difficult. I thought about starting this talk today with just standing here in silence. I thought that might be a bit intimidating. Just standing and staring for a few minutes. It isn't easy. Silence isn't easy. And immediately we fill that silence with thoughts, and then words come out, and we find we're praying again. But there's a little passage in Revelation, I don't remember when Richard was leading us through Revelation. There's a little chunk where there was various things going on, and I think a scroll has just been opened. And then there is silence in heaven for half an hour. I think it might even happen more than once. So we, in our worship, we joined in with the worship of heaven. Perhaps also in our prayers, we should be prepared to join in the silence of heaven. have bought for you. Say less. Maybe be silent for a bit. And I hope, Wendy, maybe I'd nod at me here, but I hope if you try it, and it's hard, but you keep trying, it might get easier with time, being silent with God. Does it get easier? It does get easier. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head there, Wendy. As you can imagine where I'm going with this, if it's silent, then we can hear. Okay. I was thinking also back over the Old Testament. All those Old Testament prophets. How did they get their revelations from God? What happened? And there's lots of examples. But I'm guessing, I mean, there's some really well-known, like, Daniel had lots of dreams. I've just been reading Daniel. So his obviously came when he was asleep. Ezekiel, chapter 1, talks about Ezekiel having a vision when he went down to the, river? Down to the river. Thank you. Yeah. So he sees this great vision when he goes down to the river, and there's an implication elsewhere in Ezekiel that he wasn't alone, but he was the one who saw the vision. So God's word came to him powerfully when he was not necessarily expecting it, but he was just happened to be down by the river, and then he started to see stuff. The Son of Man, various amazing visions, and so on. So, yeah, there are lots of examples of God breaking in to someone and speaking to them in different ways, but my suspicion is that mostly the Old Testament prophets got their revelation when they were on their own, just being quiet with God, waiting for a word from Him. Just waiting. And waiting's obviously quite important, because I don't know if you remember, but in the story of Saul, the first time that we realise Saul is not going to be the king for Israel going on for the generations is when he fails to wait for him. It wasn't in prayer, it was actually supposed to be waiting for Samuel the prophet to arrive to do some offering, and he got too impatient and his soldiers were starting to desert him, and he did the offering himself. And then Samuel arrived as soon as the offering was done. That was the moment when, you know, God revealed that Saul was not going to be his chosen king. So, yeah, patience is obviously a good thing. And I'm being quiet and waiting and listening. They're not easy, but these things are important. I was quite struck reading, I think you say his name is Max Lucado, but Max Lucado, he's written lots of quite accessible books, and often uses his own family and his children and bringing up his family as illustrations of biblical truths. And he was giving a very good one. He got his children into, he obviously has a playroom. In Australia, I think they call them a rumpus room, but a kind of sort of messy room with all the toys. And he stuck some loud music on and told them to shout and jump around and make a big noise, and maybe they were playing instruments and whatever. And he, while they were doing this, he was trying to tell them a story. And then he got them to stop. So, okay, so what happened in the story? And they couldn't hear anything. Didn't you catch it very well? And he said, well, why couldn't you follow the story? Why couldn't you hear what I was saying? Well, something was going on. And then he said, well, let's try it again. But did you be quiet? It's a very simple illustration. But isn't our prayer life sometimes a bit like that? We're so busy talking to God about our worries and our issues that the words that He is almost certainly speaking to us might probably not hear them. So let's try being a little quieter and hopeful and expectant and see what God says. We need to create a chance to hear what God's word is for us so that we will know His will. There's a little verse I came across in reading 1 John 5. It's right at the end of the Bible. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15, if you want to turn there. 1 John 5:14 and 15. It's just before 2 John, strangely. And that's before 3 John. 1 John 5:14 and 15. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we ask of him. I'll read that again. This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, keywords, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked him. So answered prayer comes from praying in line with the will of God. But to know his will, we need to do a few things, don't we? We need to read his word with the Holy Spirit guiding us and pointing out stuff to us, hearing him that way, but also hearing his will for us through hearing his voice when we pray. Guide us in our prayers. So, just in conclusion, bringing it all together. You don't need to feel guilty about your prayer life. I can tell you, whatever your prayer life looks like, it looks like everybody else's. It's just seasonal, and we're not judged. Nobody's, don't judge yourself, be harsh on yourself. Just accept it for what it is, but maybe try a couple of little things this week to help. Introduce a bit more silence into your life. Maybe turn the radio on. Turn the television on. Maybe turn the iPad off, or the tech off, and the phones off. Just for a few minutes. Every day. Just be silent. Maybe say a little introductory prayer if you want to first. Just quiet, be silent for a few minutes. Just get it into your routine. Just a few minutes. And then out of that, maybe do some of your praying. It comes. But maybe try and listen first. Give it a try. Go into your room, close the door, and say that. Amen. Shall I pray? I'm not going to pray silently, because I might pray a little bit silently. Heavenly Father, we love you. You love us. And like in all relationships, Lord, communication needs to be. And Lord, we do confess to you, Lord, that we're not always very good at letting you get your word in. We sometimes miss your word because we're talking too much and we're not listening. Help us, Lord. Listen with both. Help us not to be beating ourselves up when we struggle to be quiet with you, but just keep trying. And Lord, in that quiet space, in our metaphorically closed room, that we would hear you, that we would meet you, that we would learn your will. And from that, we would. In Jesus' name.